Welcome on the first green Sunday since before the start of Lent. Green, ordinary time, always comes after fasts and feasts, fasts which are there to prepare us to get ready for whatever the feast is. Obviously this time, the 50 days of Easter, including the Ascension, and followed by Pentecost, the Most Holy Trinity, and Corpus Christi. And this year is broken again next weekend, as we shall celebrate St. Peter and St. Paul. Today, too, is the longest day, near the birth of St. John the Baptist on the 24th, second quarter day of the year. Green, too, again, is the grass I've been mowing, as the rain of June has changed what was becoming brown through lack of rain and much sun. I always remind you that green time is our growing time, putting into practice what we have celebrated in the feasts. Three times in the Gospel today, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Those or similar words or sentiments come about 365 times throughout the whole of the Scriptures, which I think is the Lord saying, you need to hear and therefore heed them every day. There are words certainly during lockdown we need to hear and heed. Life continues to be very different and not at all easy for anyone, which is why we need to keep each other and the whole worldwide situation very much in prayer. Most people, as individuals, as groups, or as nations, do not like to be pushed about. Freedom is very much what we all want for ourselves and for each other, and with that comes respect for each other. Lockdown, wherever it is across the world, has changed so much of all that. Freedom to be together, freedom to meet, to shop, to socialize, to go to work, to go to church, to be at mass, to go to school. The list goes on. Most people on the whole have tackled kindly to it. We are glad things are easing, but we know vigilance will ever be necessary for quite some long time. As ever, our Mass readings come to help us. Jeremiah lived in troubled times, not a pandemic like now, but more than just the virus are emerging across the world at the moment, with many questions, much upheaval going on. I think signs of the change of era Pope Francis speaks of. Jeremiah, chosen as a prophet of God and to speak out to the troubled times of God, he was called upon to tell people uncomfortable truths, suffering greatly in that calling. But in today's first reading, he refuses to be intimidated by terror from every side. That does not mean that terror doesn't get to him. He is human. He is a prophet, not a robot. But he has no intention of allowing the terror to write his script. Jeremiah has been abandoned by all his friends who now tried to discredit him. He is thrown into prison and goaded almost to despair. But in a magnificent soliloquy, he accuses God of seducing him into accepting a mission that brings only derision and reproach all the day. He contemplates abandoning his office of prophet in some words just before our reading begins, but then admits that God's word is like a fire in his bones that he cannot abandon. For he knows that the Lord is at his side, a mighty hero. What keeps Jeremiah sane amidst all this persecution is his profound belief that God cares for him. The book of Jeremiah has several examples of what his prayer to God, reminiscent of the type of psalm known as an individual lament, is one reason why the psalms can be of such help at all times, in good times and in bad, in joys or in sorrows, in pain and grief, in praise and delight. Today's psalm verses provide a vivid parallel to the cry of Jeremiah. This psalm is one of the best known of all the individual laments, and the writers of the Gospels made much use of it in their description of the Passion of Jesus. In this psalm lament, as in the closing verse from Jeremiah, is a cry of confidence in God's saving power. This links us beautifully with the second reading from Romans, in which St. Paul introduces a major theme in his thought, Jesus as the second Adam. Paul takes the story of man's creation and fall in Genesis chapters 1 to 3 as truth, and saw in it a prefiguring of the eventual purposes of God, Adam as the type of the one who was to come. This is what makes sense of the phrase in the Exalted at Easter Vigil, O happy fault, O felix culpa, that earned so great, so glorious a Redeemer. All picked up by St. John Henry Newman's praise to the holiest in the height, the higher gift than grace, and the second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. It is Jesus, the second Adam, who in the Gospel today, having prepared the disciples, commissions them to go out in his name and proclaim that God's kingdom is close at hand. Just a few verses before today's reading begins. Which is why our reading is a bit mysterious, for it's about things that are hidden now being revealed tomorrow, about light and dark, and about whispers and proclamations. Above all, it is about not being afraid of people who might abuse, arrest, torture, or even execute us when we preach the good news, because they cannot kill our souls. Only God has the power to do that. Jesus appears in strong voice against intimidation. He does not disguise the truth that his disciples were confronted by those who threaten, bully, and intimidate others into submissive agreement. Jesus' advice is clear. Not only does he want his disciples to refuse to submit to the merchants of death, he tells them not to be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. One reason I have written at length about the June English saints in this week's newsletter reminds us that most of them were martyrs for being Catholic Christians and speaking and holding to the truth. Most of us will not be called to martyrdom, but certainly we know ridicule, abuse, intimidation, peer and media pressure, persecution, and more for our Catholic faith. Jesus says human agents of persecution are not to be feared. People can impose suffering and death on the body, but cannot force spiritual death on the soul. Jesus uses this distinction between body and soul to contrast the relative value of earthly life with the absolute good of eternal life in heaven with him. We know from history that is one thing that inspired the martyrs on their way to the place of execution. St. Justin, 1st of June, who was from Nablus in Samaria, AD 165, on being questioned by the prefect, "So you imagine that you are going to heaven and will receive some appropriate reward?" To this, Justin replied, "It is not a case of imagining. I know. I am certain." St. Thomas More, in his last letter to his daughter Meg, wrote, "Pray for me, and I shall pray for you and all your friends, that we may merrily meet in heaven." The Church, in lockdown, continues to feed and nourish us in word, if not yet able to receive in sacrament. And in all that is or isn't going on, we will have opportunities to proclaim one way or another our faith. It is why at the end of every Mass, having been disciples at his feet, we become apostles sent out and bidden go in peace, announce the gospel of the Lord, or glorify the Lord by your life. For we know that whatever happens, we are under the loving protection of a God who cares for every sparrow that falls from the sky and even knows how many hairs there are on our head. So much does he love us. There is nothing to fear. Do not be afraid. You have worth. If you believe deep down you're worthless, there is no point. But you are worth enough to overcome any fear.